Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WTIC, and a good afternoon to you. It is a sad day for radio, for talk radio, for politics, for conservative politics, with the death of Rush Limbaugh, which was not unexpected. He had said that he was not going to survive his cancer, and he was correct. And we will talk about that as the show moves on. But we're going to start off with a local political story, which is our bent. And one that is fresh and alive and real and recent. Joining us now is the founder of Informed Choice Connecticut, informedchoiect.org. And her name is Leanne Ducat. Leanne, welcome to WTIC.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. How are you?
So I assume you're tired because there was a long hearing at the state capitol, which ended when? Yes.
The hearing ended
Did it go the full 24?
It certainly did.
So full 24 hours, right?
This morning. Yep.
And did you get a chance to testify?
I did not. I was speaker number 1203 and it didn't make it that far.
Would you tell people what this was all about?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I'm glad you asked. So currently, the Connecticut statutes have a list of mandated vaccines in order that your children have to take in order to attend public, private school, daycare, higher education, or camp in Connecticut. And with that vaccine mandate list came a relief valve in the form of a religious exemption form. They were introduced together in 1959. They've coexisted peacefully for 60 years in Connecticut until the last few years. It became a contentious issue in the state legislature. Where lawmakers want to remove the only relief valve that parents have outside of the medical exemption, which is the religious exemption. They claim a trajectory of increasing exemptions for the reason that they need to remove this exemption. They think it's putting the public health at risk. And after 2 to 3 years of us begging them to provide us the science that they're relying on to show that these children with religious beliefs are of any threat to the public health, they keep repeating the same old taglines. They provide no science. And this issue has garnered record-breaking amounts of people showing up at the Capitol last year for what was the longest public hearing in Connecticut history. We broke that record last night. Last year was 22 and a half hours. This year was 24. This year we had triple the amount of people sign up to testify, most overwhelmingly opposing the bill in favor of supporting religious freedom and parental rights in Connecticut. And we'll see what happens. It was a pretty pretty intense conversation. It was a little different this year because it was over Zoom. When all was said and done, it was 1,931 people signed up. 10 people testified in support of the bill, and 226 people testified against the bill. And when they cut the hearing off at 24 hours after all the people had been skipped or didn't show up for their slots, there was about 1,500 people that never got to speak.
Well, so is it normal when the legislature has a hearing that it goes on for as long as there are people who want to speak?
typical rules would say that everybody who signs up gets a chance to speak. This was an unprecedented move by the chairman of the Public Health Committee, Jonathan Steinberg, who was voted on by his colleagues this morning in a straight party line vote. It's never been done before. However, I would contend that this was the most contentious topic in the state's history at this point, right up there with the gun legislation that was proposed after Sandy Hook. And I think the tolls issue, but our public hearings have cleared both of those records by far.
So it's a very interesting situation because I think that there's more than just a religious exemption in the religious exemption. There are so few conduits through which the people actually get to speak. I mean, you know, the Democrats represent the Democrats in their beliefs, and if you're not with them, then they want to steamroll you. That seems to be the situation. And they don't want anyone to have the right to resist government. That's how it feels to me.
It certainly feels like that to all the parents in my community. You know, I have an organization. I represent almost 2,000 families in Connecticut, and that is the general consensus. They just want to be left alone to go about in society in peace. They are responsible human beings. They take self-accountability for their health and their children's health. They know that if they're feeling ill, that they don't go out and put anybody at risk, which is a typical courtesy that you would afford to anybody at any time, whether there's a vaccine in the conversation or not. As we've learned in the last year, if you're feeling symptoms, you don't go anywhere. You don't dose your kid up in Tylenol and send him to school, even though you know he's sick, to get other people sick. You just don't do that. It's not the right thing to do. And there's no reason to have this egregious overstep. Removing this religious exemption not only accepts the current mandate list, but, you know, looking forward into the future, sight unseen, we don't know. The flu shot mandate could be expanded like they tried to do in Massachusetts. I know that lawmakers have expressed interest in adding the HPV vaccine to the mandate list. And most recently, House Speaker Matt Ritter was quoted in the Journal Inquirer saying that once the coronavirus vaccine became approved for children, that it would likely be mandated for children to attend school. Excuse me, I'm a little tired today.
So what would you think is the... Where do you think this goes? What do you think the end game is? It seems to me they do want to do those things that you're suggesting.
Does seem that they want to do
and
those
they
things.
they have the power to do whatever they want if they choose to behave that way. What do you think that this is an issue that is somehow volatile enough or dangerous enough for them? Do you think they so if we go back to a year ago, the governor gave up on tolls and apparently doesn't want to go back to tolls because he realized it was a really dumb thing for him to do. And it was very destructive because it provoked so much resistance. And everybody, no matter how much power you have, there's a line that you want to be careful not to cross that is so egregious to enough people that it causes you problems and directs attention onto your desire to obliterate the opposition and do whatever you want. Do you think that your issue, that the vaccine issue, Leanne, might be the one that makes them reconsider how they approach these things?
You know, that's certainly what we hope. I think the bottom line yesterday with the overwhelming opposition, I mean, only 10 people testified in support of the bill, and every message from every parent just about that opposed that bill said, you can pass this law, but it's not going to change our beliefs. We are not going to concede on our conscience. We will make adjustments in our lives. We will make sacrifices. We will pack up our businesses. We will sell our properties. We will move out of state. We will homeschool. We will make it work. We're simply drawing a line in the sand. And if anything, I'm hopeful that this might be an issue where Democrats go, wow, we really need to stop steamrolling our power. Last year, they passed just about every bill they wanted to pass with very little consideration of any amendment offered by the Republicans on any issue, not just this issue. And it looks like they're doing the same exact thing this year. And they're starting to be vilified a lot more. People are realizing that they simply aren't. They're out of touch with what's going on in the public, and what the public really wants is to be left alone. And every time the Democrats claim that they have a responsibility to keep us safe, it only translates into them having more power, control over our lives. And we're drawing a line in the sand. They can pass the bill if they want, but we're not going to comply.
We're talking to Leanne Ducat, informedchoicect.org. She was at the state capitol last night for the 24-hour, well, this morning, yesterday, for the 24-hour, not at the capitol, I'm sorry, virtually at the capitol for the hearing. And what's your feeling This is, it seems to me that it's totally inappropriate to do lawmaking this way, separate from your issue. This is an issue everybody should be upset about, that they now have arm's length removal from the immediate contact with voters that you would normally have. You don't see people in the supermarket so much. You're not seeing people out and about town. You're not seeing people at the hearing of the state capitol because you never see people now.
That's absolutely right, Todd. And we were talking about, you know, we have a petition with over 15,000 signatures requesting them to postpone this public hearing until they can resume full active engagement with the legislature, because we would be at the LOB all the time, you know, catching a legislator in the salad bar line for a quick chat or saying, you know, passing him in the hall. That was really helpful in us building those communities and building those bridges with legislature and getting conversations with legislators to help them bridge the gap here, because there's obviously a big gap between this community and the LOB, the members of the legislature. So we don't run to them. We don't run into them in town, and we aren't. They're blatantly ignoring their constituents via email. Last night on the public hearing, for example, we had one legislator from Hamden, State Representative Josh Elliott. He came on the call for long enough to vote yes to limit the public hearing to 24 hours. And a few hours into the call, we realized he wasn't even there anymore. He didn't even hang out
at
the meeting. He hung up.
He wanted to limit the meeting to 24 seconds.
Mm-hmm. He certainly did. We had other legislators that fell asleep with their cameras on. We had legislators who berated and yelled at mothers who were begging for their child's freedom and rights over their child not to be infringed upon. It was quite a telling scene what happened last night, the way that some of these parents were treated in favor of the very small number of people who came there to support the bill. Might I add, every single one of them at one point in their lives benefited from this. This would have benefited from this type of transaction, whether they be physicians or otherwise.
Leanne, hold on 1 minute. I want to ask you a couple more questions, and we have to get a break in. Leanne Ducat is with us. Stay tuned on WTIC. WTIC. I'd like to share your thoughts on Rush Limbaugh. We're going to do it two ways. We will take some live calls on it during the show today on Rush Limbaugh's death, and we will also play rant line calls. So if you want to call the rant line now, it's a good time, 860-751-4698. We're talking about a hearing, 24-hour hearing, held by legislators for the discussions about the elimination of the religious exemption that allows parents for a religious reason to object to the forced vaccination of their kids. And the left that now controls the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party that controls the state, they want to do away with this parental right of controlling their child's body, which to me seems like the most essential of privileges that a parent should have, but to the left seems like the most essential imperative for government to hang on to and grab complete control of. So we're talking with Leanne Ducat from informedchoicect.org. Leanne, you've had a chance to listen to the other side of this issue, talk about the issue. Do you see some glimmer of sincerity and decency in any of the spokespeople you hear on the other side, whether legislators or activists or what have you? Tell me your feelings as you listen to them talk against your belief that you have the right to control your child's body.
Well, I do believe that everybody who is in this discussion, most people who are in this discussion, want what's best for our children, right? And some of those deeply rooted beliefs often differ when it comes to this issue, and it can be very contentious. I've seen very passionate advocates on the other side of the issue. When I start to question some of the information that's being told and the taglines that are being repeated over and over, like incessantly over and over again, I start to kind of look a little bit deeper, and I'm finding that those dots just aren't adding up for me, and that's just not a choice that I'm willing to make. Now, the problem is when you try to bring that information forth or ask poignant questions, you get shut down, you get met with a level of cognitive dissonance, you get gaslighted. and some berated sometimes and abused. During the hearing last night, Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff even was tweeting antagonistic tweets about quote-unquote anti-vaxxers. There was several people on that Zoom call that testified last night that vaccinated their children to every vaccine on the CDC schedule, but were absolutely opposed to the removal of the choice because they understood what a slippery slope this can be. When you open up a mandatory market to 500,000 school children, it creates a problem. But I did see some sincerity from a couple of legislators, and I'd have to give credit where it's due. When Representative Michelle Cook discovered that families in droves were being asked to leave their pediatric practices for not adhering to the CDC recommended schedule or declining a service from a medical provider that they're not legally required to take, they're being excused from their medical practices. And she was very concerned about that and asked for some more information on that. And then I discovered Mary Abrams, Senator Mary Doughty Abrams, she, in the last hearing, I was a little concerned last year. For 22 hours, the woman sat there and said nothing more than, thank you for your time, next speaker, please. Your time is up. Thank you for your time, next speaker, please. Didn't offer a sincere thought, didn't ask a sincere question. And that was very concerning to me because it just seemed like her mind was really made up. At the beginning of this legislative session, she said she was committed to getting this bill passed. So that kind of furthered my belief that her mind was made up until we got to the hearing and she started hearing the different ways that families would be impacted, especially those with special needs children. These children would suffer dearly if these exemptions were taken away because medical exemptions are extremely hard to get in the state, and doctors just don't write them if it doesn't fall into the CDC stringent criteria. So when Senator Abrams heard some of these stories about how severely impacted these families would be and the true, true hardship that would result, she did express some sincere empathy, and she asked some sincere questions, and you could tell that she was pretty affected. So I think that that said something, and I was grateful for that because this does not have to be a party line vote. People need to really look at what's right here and stand up to the boss no matter what it is, what the issue is, because if no other issue, bodily autonomy is the issue, right? We don't want that going away because then we are on a very slippery slope. And I appreciate the fact that she took the time to hear those mothers and to speak with them and engage with them this year as opposed to last year when she didn't.
Leanne, any action you want to get from people who are concerned about this issue? You want them going to your website or signing a petition, anything like that?
Yeah, sure. They can go to my website. I have two petitions on there. I'm sharing petitions that were created by a woman from Griswold. There's one for the Senate districts. You can go in and find your individual Senate districts right on my website and sign the petition for that. Or you can, the petition for the public hearing obviously is already over because the public hearing already happened. But we encourage people to sign their Senate petitions, and if they'd like to send me an email to figure out how to get more involved or sign up for my mailing list, they can certainly go on my website. My whole team is going to take a nap for a day or two, and then we're going to recoup and send out some information and just keep people apprised of the process so that they can be aware of what's going on. Because unfortunately, a lot of legislators didn't inform their constituency that this was their intent this year. And people have been blindsided with the news that this hearing went down and they had no clue it was coming.
All right, Leanne, thank you for taking the time and mustering the energy to talk to us today. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Todd. Talk soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Take care.
So there is the story from the hearing that took place, 24 hours ending this morning at 9 a.m. Leanne Ducat from Informed Choice Connecticut. Go to informedchoicect.org. If you want to talk about this, you may. 860-522-9842. If you want to talk about Rush Limbaugh and his passing today, I'd love to get your comments on that as well. When we continue, 860-522-9842 and the rant line, 860-751-4698. Of course, the rant line is there for you 24 hours a day to comment on whatever you choose, in whatever way you choose. So we will get into all that and hopefully get some opinions from you, because this is important stuff. This idea of the legislature feeling that it should have total control over what parents decide for their kids is a pretty profound and big issue, it seems to me. So We will break for news and we'll get together and talk about these issues when we continue on WTIC. WTIC. So, Rush Limbaugh, was he on? When did he start on WTIC? I don't even know. I assume he was here forever. Decades anyway, right? I'd love to hear for people who are impacted by his death on an emotional level. Regular listener, feel connected to him. Big loss, everyday listener or on and off regular listener. I mean, it's usual for people to go through phases with stations and shows and be really into it for a while and not be into it for a while. But what I think is interesting, what we will find history says about Rush Limbaugh is that, one, that he pioneered a medium, because really you couldn't use radio like this in the old days. Radio was so strictly controlled, and there was that equal time provision where you had to give both sides of the story. If you had one guest on, you needed the other guest. And right when he came on the air, I think, is when the rule changed, and suddenly he was able to do his narratives, you know, his monologuing that he did. Not that he did that right off the air, but right off the bat. But he was, his great gift, I think, was in his ability to first intake a huge amount of material and then to disseminate that in a unique way. He wasn't repeating what he heard. He was developing his own ideas and pushing those ideas out into the world. And he was profoundly effective at that. He was gifted as an orator and gifted as a creative thinker and gifted in his ability to absorb information, to take it in. And then he had this incredible talent. For me as a talk host, what amazed me listening to Rush was that he would grab stories that were happening in the news and weave them together into some new quilt of understanding. There was something magical about his ability to do it. I've had a similar feeling about myself once or twice, but I only mention that in that it revealed to me how hard it is to do and how rare it is for me. So it amazed me that he can do it on such a regular basis. Anyway, thoughts on Rush, thoughts on vaccines, thoughts on where we're at our political moment. 860-522-9842. And we'll go to Chris in West Hartford. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Todd. First off, thank you for all you do. You're a real warrior in the war here, and we need you these days.
Well, thank you for that.
I've been listening to Rush since 1991. Big loss for me. Learned so much from him. Always enjoyed his diction and the great words he used, his vocabulary. I enjoyed, despite the fact that I may have killed him, his cigar stories and his golf stories, and of course the politics were right on the money, and he predicted much of what we're going through. But he was a very positive person. He was always a beacon of light in hard times, like you are, and always let us know how important it was to be an American. And I learned more about history and the military and all that from Rush than I ever learned in my, I think, 16 years of school and postgraduate and all that stuff. And I'm a huge history buff now. And and what he did for children and the children books he wrote. And the other thing I wanted to mention was the, it was just on the tip of my tongue. I forgot now.
Oh, that's all right. Just
so when people are criticizing him, let's remember just one story. When the pair of sneakers, was it Nike or somebody, where they were making fun of Betsy Ross, and he turned that thing around and put out those T-shirts, which I bought one and all my friends did. And I'll tell you something, Todd, what did they buy? 15 houses for homeless or for firefighters, police through that Tunnels to Towers program. I think he raised $5 million from that. What did the liberals do for something like that? Nothing. What did Bill Gates do for them? So I just want to tell you, like, these people always run their mouths. He did a lot for charity, he didn't even mention. So humongous contributions to charity. So I think I've covered it all.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and for your kind words. All righty, take care. 860-522-9842. Well, that's a nice testimonial. A teacher and somebody who also used his power to help people. That's pretty cool. Stephen Bristol, hi.
Hi there. You know, I've got to tell you, Todd, I listened to Rush Limbaugh since the Clinton administration, and it never ceased to amaze me how brilliantly he illuminated the hypocrisy and absurdity in politics, and sometimes on the right also. He did this brilliantly on a daily basis, and I will never forget Rush for his humor. I mean, I can tell you I would be listening to Rush Limbaugh and just burst out laughing. He was truly that funny. And I think he needs to be remembered for that. And also, he saved AM radio. And I don't think he's ever been given true credit for that. He saved AM radio from a certain death. I truly believe that.
Oh, I think everybody in the AM radio business and probably in the radio business knows that that's true, that because that's why he was on, you know, he's on something like 600 radio stations or something to that effect. So that's an incredible achievement, and that's because he was where the energy was, and that's pretty incredible. I remember, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe during the Clinton years, driving around the country in different parts of the country and hitting the scan button. And that's all you would have to do during Rush's show. Go anywhere and hit the scan button, and you wouldn't find just one, but, you know, you'd find one and then the signal would fade a little and you hit scan again and you get another Rush station. It's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I was an insurance adjuster in those days, and I found the same thing as I was traveling. When I would start to lose them on one signal, he just hit that scan button, and no problem. There'd be a few more, no problem at all. Never had trouble receiving Rush Limbaugh, never.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Steve, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Rick in Wethersfield. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing? I just want to add to what everybody else is saying that basically, I think it was 1987, and I was working. I was really tired. It was lunchtime. Needed a break. Turned on the radio, and there he was, you know, for the first time. And I just started listening, and I said, "What's this guy talking about?" And I couldn't believe the stuff he was saying. And that was, I think, the first time he was on, because I usually, you know, I come from the AM age, you know, where all we did was listen to AM. There really wasn't any good FM stations back, you know, in the 80s. And that's how I first heard him. And I think the interesting thing was that over time, you know, he resonated with everybody. So it was neat to have that countrywide experience. You know, if you were a conservative, you know, back in the 80s, you know, it was pretty lonely and experience. And to hear other people call in from other parts of the country, you know, basically saying the same things. He just was able, you know, to reach the average person, you know, and bring them all together under one umbrella, you know, and give everybody enough room, you know, to sound off. And, you know, from the very beginning, it was, you know, I thought it was a strange experience, I think, within the first 30 minutes. But then I started to, you know, get his humor and the way, you know, he's kidding about that and kidding about this, because it was hard to understand his humor when you heard it for the first time. It took a little time, but
I talked to somebody in the radio business today and was talking to him about his reaction, and he had a similar comment to what you just said, Rick, that the first time he listened to Rush, he thought he was kind of a bozo, and what were these, he was so full of himself. But and I heard people through the years say that about Rush, he was so full of himself, and he wasn't full of himself at all. It was the opposite. It was all in jest and fun and lighthearted, his with talent on loan from God and all that. It was delightful stuff. 860-522-9842. Joe calling from Simsbury. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. I'm actually going to compare you in a way to Rush Limbaugh, and I'm not pandering with what I'm going to say here. But one of the things from the very early days that I started listening to Rush was the whole concept that he would communicate that words mean things. And I think you guys are very similar in terms of that. I'll give you an example. So, you know, the Democrats can say something like, we're going to invest in America. And Rush would rip that apart, and the average liberal would say, oh, investing in America, how wonderful, let me vote for you. And Todd Feinberg, from the first times that I actually started listening to you here, you would say, okay, what does invest mean? And you would go over, invest means we're going to tax you, and we're going to give it to somebody else. So that's the one example I can think of words meaning things. And I think that in your show, what you do is you take apart, very similar to Rush in your own style, where somebody says something and you don't let them get away with, you know, the stuff that the left will allow people to get away with, because to them words don't mean things unless they mean something emotionally that they want them to mean.
Well, that's because so many people are living in underserved communities that we have to, we've got to be thinking about them all the time, you know. I'm making fun of one of those bits of language.
Yep.
That I like to clarify. Well, thank you for that. That's very kind. Anything else you wanted to say about Rush?
He's just meant so much to me in terms of my life. I've spent so many hours with him over the years driving, and very sad to see him go. And I do think that, you know, although he went because of lung cancer and he smoked cigars, so there's probably a direct correlation, but I also think that cancer can be caused a lot by stress that he probably kept from us, being someone who was attacked almost every single day of his life by people who didn't attack him because they disagreed with something he said and they had a different analysis of a situation. But they attacked him far more than Donald Trump ever did by misleading people about things that he would say that he never said. And they would do it because a lot of people didn't get a chance to listen, so they would just think, oh, Rush Limbaugh is evil. But the rest of us, the 20 million who heard it, we knew exactly what he was saying.
Yeah, I doubt that that caused him any stress, Joe, because it's just hard to imagine that. I mean, it doesn't even feel like anything that people, for me, people hate me or hate what I'm saying means nothing, because that's just life when you have an opinion. If you walk in the street and say something definitive about anything, the people who hear you you'll have people who will want to tear you limb from limb and praise you to the ends of the earth. And none of it means anything because everybody has an opinion. It's about debating the realities and trying to come to terms with realities that matters to me. Jay in Bridgeport. Hi, Jay.
Hey, thank you for having me. I just wanted to call and touch on the two bills removing the religious exemption for school kids. I just wanted to say, you see a couple of the legislators, it's clear that they have personal motives behind pushing it because they're using the pandemic and fear that everyone has as a way to push this down people's throats, not getting everyone that signed up to testify a chance to be heard, and just going off of the DPH's data that didn't even show the correct number of religious exemptions last year in school kids.
But what do you think's really driving them, Jay? Why are they so devoted to the idea that parents shouldn't be able to have this kind of control over their own kids?
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate, but I mean, you got to look at also, too, the overwhelming majority of people who signed up to testify and who testified were parents who were against the bill. If this is such a problem and there's such an emergency, where are the parents of vaccinated kids who are afraid to have their children sitting next to an unvaccinated child in school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good question. I wonder if those parents exist. Thank you, Jay, for the call. 860-522-9842. More phone calls coming up on WTIC.
Hey.
Well, it is a... Well, I don't know anybody else who could create this kind of day for talk radio. Political talk radio, i.e. conservative talk radio. It's a format that belongs in a large way to Rush Limbaugh, particularly the syndicated aspect of it. I mean, there was talk radio earlier than him, but it was very locally driven and very, very motivated by things that were going on in the area of the radio station. And Rush Limbaugh turned national political talk into something that people were paying attention to in whole new ways. And it was all built around his personality and his intellect and his imagination. 860-522-9842, Matt in Bristol. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Todd. Let me just take you up.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, the one thing I love most about Rush was just the way he talked to his audience. You never talked down to his audience. He assumed everyone out there listening was as smart as he was. And he, you know, just the way he presented his arguments. And I was lucky enough to get on air with him about 6 times in the last few years. And,
oh, no kidding.
That was thanks to, you know, these local call-in shows, because I never would have had the courage to call in there if I didn't call into these local shows many times first.
Oh, so you think it took the exercise of getting comfortable on the air before you could call Rush?
Oh, it absolutely did. And still the first time I talked to him, I was so nervous. I could barely speak.
How did he react to you?
He was, you know, great and gracious like he always was with everyone. You know, he made people feel, you know, comfortable. Even, you know, as famous as he was, he very down to earth.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, I'll just miss him. I used to, you know, get a smile on my face every afternoon when I heard his voice.
Well, that's I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's another big question is what happens in lieu of Rush? Is it possible for somebody else, for example, to take over that slot and play the role in people's lives that he played?
I honestly don't know. I'm assuming he might have had someone in line, one of his guest hosts, maybe that could take over, but it'll never be Rush, you know. I don't think anyone could keep the kind of audience that he's kept over the years.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Thank you, Matt. Great to hear from you. I mean, not that anybody, you wouldn't want anybody being Rush. You want somebody who can use the resource in a way that is worthy. I think that's what we'd be looking for. Cora calling from Orange on the public hearing and the vaccine issue. Hi, Cora.
Hi, how are you?
What's on your mind?
Well, I'm a little bit peeved that we had over 24 hours of testimony, and more than a third of them, it was actually only a third of them got heard, and there were 10 people who opposed and everyone else who was,
But don't you feel that with the, given the hundreds of people, whatever it was, a couple hundred people got to speak against, did you feel that provided a good narrative, that it was well represented, your side of the issue?
I would say that it was represented in a little bit, but I wouldn't say completely. There were doctors who were signed up who never got to speak, which is, you know, there are so many people.
Well, that's
who are
a big
silent.
Thing.
It's huge, and here you are. You're telling them that, oh, well, you can just go get a medical exemption, or we'll just go and do this anyway. We're going to displace your children, but we're not going to offer you anything in lieu. But we will segregate your children, and we'll likely keep them out of school.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. I'm fascinated to see what happens with it.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
It's WTIC on the day that Rush died. Your recollections, your thoughts. One thing we haven't talked about much, which would be interesting if anybody has any ideas, is where do we go from here? What is there for a new direction? There's not going to be another Rush, but there's going to be, maybe, there's going to be somebody else who plays that kind of role in talk radio or in the conservative movement or in whatever, maybe some new thing is born out of the conservative movement today? Like, any perspective along those lines would be intriguing to hear. Louise calling from New Britain. Hello, Louise. Louise.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad that he was able to get that Medal of Freedom from President Trump while he was still our president. He must be really sad to hear. They were so connected and alike, I think. And, you know, I so appreciated his stand on life and against abortion and, you know, defending the church and all that, everything. And, you know, it may have sounded bombastic sometimes to say talent and loan from God, but it's true. Our lives are loan from God, so is whatever talent he gives us. And he certainly used it to the max. He was a trooper. So now we just continue to pray for him that he'll soon be rewarded, and he can pray for us now. We'll need it. That's all I have to say.
Louise, thank you for that. It's so funny. I never thought of that remark in the perspective that you just said, that he was serious that his talent was on loan from God, because all talents are on loan from God. I never considered it that way. I just thought he was being self-deprecating. With talent on loan from God. You know, like the one hand tied behind his. But what was that? What did he say? With both hands? That was, you know, he was fun that way. Steve is calling from NBC Haddam. Hello, Steve.
Todd Feinberg, News Talk 1080.
Wow, I love the latest bit you did for today's rant line.
Oh, it's getting better and better. I need more Ned press conferences.
He doesn't talk enough.
He throws it to Josh all the time. Ugh.
You did that great sequence, though, with 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or months, or whatever. And that was, did that take a lot of work to find each of those pieces?
No. You just keep listening and keep banking all of these silly things that he says. It's just, I mean, 1 hour can give you, you know, so much material. It's incredible. You know,
yeah.
I hope he expands to some different topics. You know, that would be.
I doubt it. He likes to talk about things that he knows a lot about, and that's a precious few number of topics.
Yeah, baseball, you know, sports, weather.
Baseball. I'm a football fan.
When Rush came on today, I was listening, and I heard a woman's voice, and like, well, who is this woman who's filling in for Rush today? And she just sounded amateurish. And I'm like, oh, no, that's Catherine. That's his wife. Oh, no. And it hit me like, oh, she's laying it all out. And it was just truly sad to hear her giving that speech at noon today.
It's funny that he said basically that he was not going to survive this at one point recently. And even knowing that, it's still, I mean, death is impactful no matter how prepared you might be. And even if it's somebody you never met, it can have enormous impact. It's just a curious thing about him and life and us as creatures and all that.
Well, you were saying, like, who's going to replace him? Well, who's a famous, you know, very popular person in America right now who may have just lost his job last month?
Oh, you're talking about Trump. But it's a... it's something you have to be devoted to. I can't imagine Trump doing it every day. So Trump is the only person who's got the magnitude, the size, I think, to where you would say, okay, he could step right in and the show wouldn't miss a beat. But I don't think Trump would be up for that kind of thing.
You can't, even when Mark Stein and you know, Todd Herman fill in, they're great, but they're just not Rush. And obviously you'll never get Rush back. It's like trying to recreate the Beatles. You can't do it. But I think if Trump steps in, it will be the ultimate payback for Rush to give Trump Rush's freedom of radio when Trump has been silenced by the left.
Well, yeah, I just don't think Trump would want to do it. I think his personality type is too different. I don't think Trump can be made to sit still. And radio requires that you be very focused on that microphone and thinking about all day, every day, what you're going to be talking about. And I don't know that Trump would really have trouble with making the noise that you need to require to fill up, that you need to make to fill up 3 hours of radio. But I don't think he would want to be confined to that obligation because he's such a busy guy out in the world.
Well, I don't know. I would give him a guest slot maybe once a week if he could fill in and just see how, you know, to groom him. I mean, he's a television guy. I'm sure he could do it. He's got the personality.
Well, that I could see. Yeah, that I could see. But his TV stuff was scripted. I don't know. That was Steve. Thank you for the call. We'll see. The one day a week thing I think would work. 860-522-9842. We're also talking about the vaccine hearing that took place from 9 a.m. yesterday till today. Brittany in Southington. Hey, Brittany.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks so much for calling on this topic. What are your feelings on it?
Well, basically, number one, I don't think it was fair that they capped it at 24 hours because there were still a lot of people that wanted to speak and didn't have a chance to get heard. I feel like it could have been... I feel like they could have, you know, put it in a format where everybody could get a chance to get heard. Also, I feel like it was biased. I feel like they were, you know, questioning the people that were in favor of the bill for a longer period of time than the people that were opposed. So they definitely, like, gave a lot of time to the people in favor. And I think that's one big reason why not everyone could be heard. I also don't think that it's based on any scientific evidence because outbreaks do occur in fully vaccinated populations, and they apparently are not willing to give any proof or any reasoning as to why they feel like these bills will actually solve a problem, which we don't actually have a problem because there's no outbreaks happening. There was a nurse that testified. I think she's been a nurse for 30 years. She said never in her career has she seen an outbreak that was caused by a child with a religious exemption. So basically, I just think these bills will not solve anything because there's no problems to be solved, and they're going to hurt thousands of families. So I definitely oppose both the bills, and I urge anyone listening to go to informedchoiect.org to sign a petition and to get more information about how you can help to stop these two bills.
All right. It sounds like you have some kids to attend to, Brittany. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. And the rant line number, 751-4698. Jim, hello there.
Todd, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
In regards to Rush Limbaugh, I'm sure people do remember, but back when he started the first 5-6 years, he had some great satirical that he would run. And that's when I really started to notice who he was. And I'm a registered Democrat, have been, and I can't tell you the last time I voted for a Democratic politician other than Joe Courtney. And he got me to start thinking outside the box when it came to politics, just politics in general. And the guy to me was just common sense. Most of the time he was common sense. And I think he was one of the first bombastic type personalities that pushed a conservative point of view. You know, long before Trump. And he got treated the same exact way in the beginning. I mean, it was really unbelievable how people went against him. And they did the same with Reagan. They did the same with both Bushes. And obviously, we know what happened with Trump. So that was my comment. I don't know anything else I could add to it other than he did more for people's careers, no matter what side of the political spectrum you were on, in radio, I believe. I think he saved AM radio in a lot of ways. And,
he lifted the whole thing up, absolutely.
Yeah, and in the end, he put it out there. He put it out there, and he stood by what he said, and he never wavered from his basic principles. Never did. And that's why I like the guy. That's why I agree with the guy 95% of the time. And I think everything that he pretty much said concerning politics and policy – He was spot and right on. I guess that's all I got.
Well, that's a lot. Thank you so much, sir. Good to hear from you. Yeah, there is certainly an intellectual consistency to through the years. Rush was who he was and believed what he believed, and that I don't think that changed. But maybe you noticed something I didn't. Gregory, hello there. You're next on WTIC.
Hello, Todd. I think David Stein will be an excellent successor.
Oh, I don't know if he will be a successor, though, but that'll be interesting to see. Sean in Plainville, hi.
Hi, Todd. How are you? So I guess there's a couple different people that came to mind. As far as being bombastic, it's a little tough to say, but maybe Ben Shapiro would fill a nice hole. But what about Donald Trump Jr.? That would give him the opportunity to have his father on as more of a interview type of style and get the message out there, you know, as he does on his vlog, which I believe would be pretty great. But I also want to say Rush, you know, I listened to Rush for 16 years. I'm turning 34 on Saturday, and I don't think I'd even be into politics if it wasn't for Rush and 1080. And we're definitely getting involved more and more as it goes on, and I appreciate it all.
How did you get introduced even to listening to WTIC? Because it's usually an older person's game.
So that's exactly how it started. I'm an HVAC technician, and the gentleman I was working with at the time who taught me the trade was actually very liberal. And I liked to get arguing points so I could argue with him during the day because he was a very argumentative type of not so nice of a guy. So I chose the other side and learned what I could.
So you had instincts towards leaning conservative, and they were nurtured under Rush's tutelage.
Absolutely, 100%. You know, and conservatism, not just, you know, politically, but, you know, financially and everything else, I believe it's the right way. I don't see a lot of the liberal ideologies as even being correct, let alone ideologies.
Well, I agree with you. I don't even think they're ideologies. They're just systems for theft. But there are people who don't view them that way, who see them as righteous.
I don't want to
underestimate how completely devoted they are to the idea that this is how people end up better. And it's hard to find examples of that, but they still believe it.
Absolutely. It's scary.
It is. Thank you, Sean. Good to hear from you. Yeah, that's true. Tom in Middlebury. Hi.
Hey, Todd. How are you today? It's a sad day.
It is.
It is a sad day, and I have just a couple of things to say. I had four major relationships in the radio business. Number one was Bob Steele when I was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was Don Imus when I got a little older. Number three was Howard Stern when Imus started losing his cheese.
Yeah.
And number four was Rush Limbaugh.
Wow, you choose well.
And, you know, and I have some, my background is in the broadcast industry, and it's just, it's the saddest thing for me. I've watched AM radio specifically go swirling down as a viable financial investment over the years. And I wonder how many of the stations out across America that were carrying Rush were carrying him, and the opposite was true. Rush was carrying them financially.
Yeah, I don't know. Talk radio, every market, especially in not big ones, you know, outside of the top 10 talk radio stations are usually major players in the market. There's usually one big one in each market. So
yeah.
I think it is still a viable medium. It's just radio that's struggling because all media is struggling because there's so much more place to get, so many more places to get content. Yeah, it's WTIC. You are tuned into the right place. We're talking about Rush, the loss of Rush. the death of Rush. Hard to believe. It's just hard to believe that. Well, I guess we as creatures, we as humans, we have trouble processing the whole idea. Somebody can be there. When did Rush do his last show? It was fairly recently, wasn't it? Michael West Hartford, hi.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Mike Czar. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I online yet? Am I online yet?
You are on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me turn the radio off. I wasn't sure. So anyhow, I've been a listener for with Rush for over 30 years when he first started out in New York at, I believe, ABC. We used to get him, barely get him through static. And I was a liberal by that, at that time. And I have to tell you, he converted me. And since then, I've been an avid listener to him. However, one thing that really bothered me today when I went onto the MSNBC site and you scroll down to the comments, and I was shocked how many people enjoyed his death. And, of course, the vitriol came out accusing him of being a racist. And on the 30 years that I've listened to him, I can never say that he was a racist. But, unfortunately, this is what the media does today. They see things in black and white, and, of course, they play to their audience. And, of course, the bias of
MSNBC is a very left-leaning network. But don't forget, there's a lot of people who just go into those comment sections and just put garbage up there. They're just looking to troll people like you and get you infuriated. So it's better, I think, to just mind your business when it comes to that stuff. Ron in Ellington. Hey, Ron.
That was funny. I tuned in kind of late. You were mentioning who can take Rush's place.
That's yeah. Right.
What's wrong with Mark Stein? Is he available?
I don't know. I don't know if they would offer him the job. You know, they've had a year of running these. To me, none of the fill-in hosts are even vaguely adequate. But that's just my opinion. You know, like, they don't do it for me. There's something. Rush took up a lot of space and had a lot of weight. And I don't feel, Mark Stein's a brilliant guy, and the other guys are good talk radio hosts. I just don't see them. I think somebody's got to come in with something totally new to take over that show.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Well, you're probably right. But that's just my opinion.
I see Mark on TV a lot of times on Fox.
No, Mark's terrific.
Funny guy.
And it might just be that I'm offended by the idea of somebody else being in that slot, because that's, you know, after 30 years, you kind of own a time slot, right? And it's hard to accept somebody different.
I guess so, maybe. Did I ever tell you about the little honeybee?
Yes, you did.
I did. Do you know what a honeybee is now? I think you said you didn't know what it was.
Well, you told me. You told me. I don't remember what you told me, but I remember the story, and I don't have time for you to do it right now. But thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. You know, it's like when they put a new actor into a role. The actor quits, and it's not the same. Like, you loved it with the old guy. That's how I feel about Rush. It's WTIC, and let's go to Catherine next. Hello there, Catherine.
Hello. I was writing down because I've been up all night trying to remember what I wanted to say. Thank you for taking my call.
No, don't read anything off a piece of paper. Just say what you want to say. It doesn't work. Just talk.
Yeah, but neither is my brain right now, but that's okay. All right.
No, that's okay.
What I thought about the hearing, it was disrespectful and abusive to have this grueling 24-hour marathon rather than spreading this over a few days so people would be able to speak. I thought it was very unpatriotic, too, and you could hear people whining, oh, you know, this is going to be a long night. And I thought about my father on the front lines for 3 years, and not just a couple of them a day, you know, enduring all kinds of hardship so that these people can sit there and arrogantly take away freedoms. essential freedom, religious freedom. And I don't want to live in this state anymore because the Democrats clearly already made up their mind. They're not willing to listen to facts or information. And it was so abusive. It was just so abusive. My emails.
In what way?
And then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In what way was it abusive?
Well, it was abusive to make people stay up all night only to not be able to be involved. comments from people, emails that I received back from public health committee members, dismissing my emails that I didn't. What did it say that that I didn't have any credibility? And if I something to the fact if I got my act together, maybe I would be taken more seriously. Bob Duff has a thing about on his Facebook post about how he's associating us with QAnon or something like that. Or the implication is that we're not people who testified or against removing religious freedom. I don't know if you've seen the post. I don't have it up in front of me, but. Yeah, I felt that was inciting. It was a very negative spin on vaccine safety advocates or parental rights people.
All right, Catherine, I'm gonna hold you right there because I don't want you going through your list of notes. I wanted to hear what you had to say top of mind about the hearing and the whole vaccine thing and the idea that they want to take away the parental right to object to mandatory vaccinations on religious grounds. So thank you for doing that, Catherine. 860-522-9842. We'll take more calls on that and on the passing of Rush Limbaugh in just a few minutes, but joining us now for his regular visit, Joe Markley. Joe, this 24-hour hearing, people are upset about it being cut off after 24 hours, but at the same time, how do legislators even sit and listen for 24 hours? That seems an unreasonable expectation.
And, you know, Todd, if they hadn't cut it off, if you've got, 1,500 people, however many people you were talking about, you can keep a hearing like that going for days and days. So that's not to defend them cutting it off. I think at a certain point, if you're a legislator, what you have to say is, why are we trying to do this under these circumstances? Why are we bringing up a bill which we have dealt with year after year already, have not been able to pass, and now in the middle of an epidemic when it's impossible for us to actually meet in public, we're still going to go and try to ram it through. Obviously, the answer is this legislative session, they should not have been doing controversial bills. They should have been doing the bare minimum, things that everybody agreed on. But
if their goal is to ram it through, regardless of the resistance, then what better time to do it when the government's been shut down, as the rest of the society has been, and they don't have to worry about personal contact with voters?
That's right. They don't have to worry about having 1,000 or several thousand people who are opposed to this up at the Capitol, as happened last year. It's a fascinating topic. And first of all, let me say I served on the Public Health Committee. I was the ranking member for one term. And I think it's a committee that breeds a kind of an arrogance. First of all, it's a committee where there's an awful lot of falling back on this sense of the science says this and the science says that. Even though the people that are the legislators that are really running the committee aren't scientists any more than anybody else. But they kind of feel entitled to fall back on that. And I felt that there was a disregard for the general public who, from their point of view, just don't get it. But this is a very fundamental issue to me. The idea of asking, does the government have the right to force me to stick a needle in my skin or to stick a needle in my child's skin if I don't want that to happen? That's a very clear line to me. They talk about your rights, your right to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. Your right to impose on me ends where my skin begins, in my opinion. And I think it's a terrible breach of respect for personal liberty.
Well, the thing I think that people miss on the other side of that, who say, well, this is a grave danger, and in order to keep us safe, it's necessary for the government to infringe rights in circumstances where there's an elevated risk like this. But there is nothing about government that is compelling in terms of its ability to decide for us what's best. And more importantly, if you especially I was listening to a story today on the Tuskegee syphilis situation that has caused so many African Americans to be distrustful of this vaccine. And there's this condescending attitude that you hear Jolly Ned and other Democrats struggling with. How do they properly articulate the idea that they feel that they know better and that these memories of something that happened 90 years ago are inappropriately interfering with their desires to have their way with people? But that's not the right way to look at the history. The history is that government can't be trusted. The history is that government makes really stupid, bad decisions through the safety and security of having all that marble and all those big old desks around you and all those portraits of dead people. There's a certain arrogance that takes. Okay, back to Joe Markley. So what are your thoughts on that? I just think these people are getting so filled with their sense of how important and wonderful government is that they think there's something kind of Neanderthalish about this idea that we need to be protected from it at all.
Oh, yes. And, you know, we need to be protected from it, not only as individuals, because each of us ought to be free to make our own mistakes and find our own ways, our own way forward, but also because only government has the capacity to make enormous errors. I often think about this. I often talk about the redevelopment I saw in Connecticut in the 60s into the 70s, and what, in the name of progress, was done to destroy the city of Hartford, the city of New Britain, the city of New Haven.
Talking about urban renewal projects?
Yeah, urban development. And nowadays, if you talk to town planners, they'd say, oh, yeah, what we did running 72 through the center of New Britain, what a disaster. Constitution Plaza, that sure didn't work. You know, all these things. But no private developer could ever have done that kind of harm because they'd never have that much power. They'd never have the money to do it. They'd never be able to come in and say, let's just get rid of these blocks and blocks of a city. Only government can make mistakes like that, and it ought to make them humble. But there's nothing that humility is in short supply in government these days. And, you know, you talk about the marble columns and the old portrait giving people a sense that somehow they're above it all. A lot of what does it is rubbing elbows with people who are perceived as being experts. And I've always felt that the problem for a legislator is you go up there with some common sense, and then you get in a room full of people that have PhDs or people that are multimillionaires or people with law degrees or whatever it is, and they're all saying, we all know this is what we need to do. It gets very hard for the average person who's maybe a retired school teacher or a part-time real estate agent or a whatever to stand up against that when you've got these perceived experts. And instead, you
start
nodding your head.
Except when you have your job as a legislator is to have experts arguing on either side of the issue. You don't just listen to the ones who are on the in support of a piece of legislation, do you? You listen to the people who are against it, too.
You try to listen to both sides. But it's very easy. Some of these issues, if you take it simply as an issue, it gets so complicated, and you've got experts on both sides. At that point, you start to say, who am I to decide between Professor X and Professor Y?
But well, that's exactly the job of being an elected official. That's what you need political people for. You don't trust experts to make decisions.
You know what? The oath you take is not to listen to experts. The oath you take is to respect the Constitution. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves is this constitutional? Is this the proper role of government? And if they started that with the vaccine question, if you got away from are these vaccinations good for you? Are they hazardous? If the question is, does the government rightly have the power to force people to do this? The question is easily answered.
Well, certainly, yes. In that case, it is. All right, Joe Markley, anything else before you go?
No, my delightful and the people that are fighting this vaccination, this is going to unite conservatives and liberals, because there's people who otherwise are on different sides, but they believe in individual liberty, and it ought to draw us back together.
Are you predicting that they will force this through just because they want it and they can?
I think it's going to be very close. And I think that the people who want to stop it, and everybody should want to stop it, because if they can force this, they can force anything. But the people who want to stop it have to keep pushing, because it can still be beat.
Well, all right. That's going to be something to watch. Joe Markley, thank you, sir, former state senator, and still involved in knowing what's going on in a unique way. And a guy who's got a liberty-based approach, as you can hear, something we need more of very, very badly. All right, we'll take some more phone calls. Maria Rocky Hill. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Todd. I actually broke down and cried. In fact, I'm near to tears again hearing the statement of Rush Limbaugh and his wife, Catherine, when she made the announcement, and of course it was on your station. And I, through the years that I've listened to him, but you know, the statement from President Trump, one of the things that he said was that Rush Limbaugh was able to paint vivid pictures over the airwaves, and that is so true. When he was a true patriot, a true American who loved this country and loved the people in it. And the 20 million of us that listen to him on a daily basis, even my sales calls, as long as I was making them in Connecticut and even out of Connecticut on the way to Massachusetts, going to Boston, I would listen to him and enjoy his comments and the way he would see things and help you see things in both ways. You know, I'm very sad today, very, very sad.
Maria, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Great to hear from you. And we've got Ron in Ellington. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, man? You don't remember me from about 5 minutes ago?
Oh, you've been on hold again? Sandra Manchester. Hi, Sandra.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that I think Dan Bongino would be an excellent replacement for Brush.
Oh, interesting.
Dan Bongino. Yep. No, Dan Bongino.
That's a thought.
He's on iHeartRadio and iHeart.com.
Thank you so much, Sandra. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. So coming up, we've got the Rant Line Hour in about, that starts in 15 minutes or so. So you can get more rants in if you wish. 860-751-4698.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.